Well, good morning to you. Hasn't it been a nice day? I mean, I know it's wet and cool outside, but it's just a joy to come and to share with these beautiful families and with the families that are here with these folks. Thank you so much. Welcome to First Church. If you're here for the very first time, welcome to you. I'm Pastor John. Make sure you come up and talk to me afterward and let me know who you are and that you were here. It's a really good time to come because we're finishing up today a series that we've entitled Little Things That Make a Big Difference. Little Things That Make a Big Difference. Here's the scripture that we've been looking at for the last, today's week number 5. Prophets said, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Everything of significance begins with the first step. And sometimes it's those small things that make all the difference in the world. We've said this over and over again. It's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. We talked to you about one word, taking one word and having it describe your walk in Christ. We've talked about how the small thing of changing your thoughts, you know, allowing God to kind of reboot us into what we think about. A little thing that can make a big difference. How we need, if we want to change our life, we need to change our words and our choice of words. Remember the scripture that I gave you about how words have the power of life and death. And we need to choose words that build up and don't tear down. And then last week we talked to you about if you want to change your life, your future, you need to change your habits. You need to develop a good spiritual Christian habits. Okay, I want to finish this up today. I want to kind of start it this way. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but little things make magic happen. You know, I kind of fancy myself over the years. I've loved to do little magic tricks and things, and I've done them for my family and my kids and little places I've been. And I love to do things that'll dazzle, you know, little kids. And you can do that when they're six. But not with you guys so much. So I've loved doing that. It's amazing because anytime you do a magic trick, everybody always wants to know how you did it. And let me just tell you, folks, if you know how it's done, it's not nearly as impressive. I mean, it's the little things that those guys are able to manipulate and those gals are able to do that just dazzle our minds. Here, I'll give you an example, okay? Got a broom here, and I don't know if you know this or not, but I have the ability to make this broom levitate. And how I do it is that I can squeeze my hand so hard that when I let it go, that this broom will actually levitate in the air. Okay, here, I'll show you. Ready? Okay, watch. Now you just squeeze it so hard, and then you just Now, you got to admit, I kind of freaked you out for like half a second, right? I broke the cardinal rule of magic tricks right there, okay? You just never tell people how you did it because you know what? You're not nearly as impressed, right? It's the little things that make magic happen. And you know what, folks? We've tried to say over and over again that is true spiritually as well. It's the little things that make a huge difference. And when we commit ourselves to the little things, you know, the thoughts, the words, the actions, when we understand these small things done well over time can make a big difference in life, that when we realize that, these little things, that they can make a huge difference in life. You know why? And I was thinking about this. And how it'd be a good way to end this series. And I came across, and I'm going to show it to you in just a minute, I came across the words of Jesus. And there was something that Jesus said that I think that illustrates exactly what we've been talking about over the last month in a big way. If we understand this one sentence, this small moment in time, I think when Jesus crystallized everything that we've been talking about over this last month, and if we accept this little thing, if we understand this little thing, and if we see how Jesus did this little thing so well, that it changed everyone's life that came in contact with this small thing in the life of Jesus. And it can have the same effect on us. Here it is. The golden rule. The golden rule. You know why it's golden? It's not golden because it's new. It's golden because it's beautiful. It's golden because of the effect that it can have. It's not golden because of its worth, because it's so small. It's golden because when we do it, it can turn a life into something that is splendid. Here's what he said. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matter of fact, would you read it with me? If you're comfortable doing that, just read it out loud with me. Here we go. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. The golden rule. You know, those words from the lips of Jesus are pretty amazing. I mean, he did that. If you've ever noticed, if you ever studied the life of Jesus, Jesus lived by the golden rule. Jesus never treated other people like other people treated them. Jesus never treated people the way that they deserved to be treated. Jesus was always offering grace when grace wasn't available. He was always offering forgiveness to people that others would not forgive. You see, that's why Jesus was able to say this and to know its significance and to understand its importance, because he understood how this could change not only the life of the one that lived this way, but of the benefactor of these words. You know, when I read the golden rule in Matthew chapter 7, I always think about how this is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Right? You know, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. This was at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. Right? Sermon on the Mount, remember it? It was when Jesus went out on the mountain and he taught his disciples all of these life-changing truths. And he told them about caring about each other. He told them about giving and not being like the Pharisees. He talked to them about, you've heard that it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say to you, all these different things that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And then at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, I think that he gave the golden rule as a summation of everything that was important and what he said. Now, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, you see the word essence. He says that this is the essence of all of the teaching of the prophets. And when Jesus said that the golden rule was the essence, here's the Greek word. And it's so interesting because this Greek word is known as a hapax legomenon. It was a word in their language, and this is the only place that it's used in the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? Now, what's interesting about that is that when Jesus said that this is the essence, he used a Greek word that's not used anywhere else in the New Testament. Well, how about the Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament was written in another language. New Testament was written in Greek, and in the Greek here, this is the word, and it's not used anywhere else. And the interesting thing about that is that a lot of times with languages like this, we understand the meaning of words and the nuance of the meaning of words by the context of where it was used somewhere else. And there's no other occurrence of this word in the whole Bible. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because what does he mean when he says that this is the essence of the teaching of all the prophets? Let me give it to you in a couple other versions. In the NIV version, it says, for this sums up the law and the prophets. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The good old King James version says, for this is the law and the prophets. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. I'm sorry. I need to read the King James Version more, don't I? But look at that. This is the law and the prophets. I love the Amplified because it kind of puts them both together. And it says, for this is the essence of the law and the writings of the prophets. Now, here's what's really interesting about that word. Not that many years ago, actually, they discovered a note written in Greek in antiquities that was dated back to the 5th century. So hundreds of years after this word was written in the Gospel of Matthew, they found a note written, and it wasn't a part of Scripture or anything. It was actually a grocery list found in a home. At that grocery list, in the margin of the grocery list, they wrote this word. Think about it, folks. Here's these things that we need for our home. Here's these things that we need to cook this meal. Here are the things that are necessary to make this. And then in the margin it said, it used this Greek word, essence, that these things are the things that you need. And if you have all these things, then you have the essence of everything you need. And I think the application for me and you is just showing us how important this verse really is. That if we follow this verse, if we take this verse to heart, if we understand that Jesus lived by these words, and if we live by them too, what a great difference they will make in our lives. You see, I think it's really important also to think about what this verse does not mean. Because when you read these words, that in everything, do to others that you would want them to do to you, that to live that way not only means to understand what that means, but to understand what it doesn't mean. For example, it doesn't mean that we treat others how they treat us. Now think about that, folks. There's not a one of us here this morning that hasn't fallen prey to the very thing that we're talking about here. It is so easy, isn't it, to give back to other people exactly what they give to you. Recently, we've got this little boy that lives in our neighborhood. It's kind of interesting. He wandered in our yard the other evening, and he said to me this. He said, it's so funny. He said, is Arlene home? He's 9 years old, okay? His next sentence actually gave away exactly what he wanted. When I said, yes, she's here, he said, did you guys have dessert tonight? Which basically means if there's anything left, I'll take it, okay? Arlene makes this little guy a root beer float, okay? And he comes in our house, and he and I end up downstairs in our basement, and we start playing PlayStation 4 golf, okay? And I mean, you know, these little kids with these joysticks are amazing. So we're playing PlayStation golf. Now, let me just tell you, you know, on this game, do you know what an avatar is? Some of you, most of you do. You know, I made this avatar on this game. You know, you have like hundreds of variations that you can use to choose to build your person that plays the game. You know, so I built this person, you know, with kind of thinning white hair. You know, a little portly around the middle. You know, I built this guy as close to what I think that I looked like, all right? So he and I are playing this game, and I'm using my avatar, and he's Rory McIlroy, okay? And if you know who he is, he's a really famous golfer right now. But anyway, we're playing this game, and by the way, I killed him. But that's another story. I don't even need to go there. But it was so funny because every time my avatar would come on the screen, okay, John Collins. Every time, and please excuse me, I'm just going to, this is what he would say. Every time, he'd say, man, you got a big butt. You know, and he just kept, I won't say it again, I'm sorry, I just had to. But he just kept repeating that every time I came on the screen, he would say that. And finally, you know, it just got to me. And you know what I found myself doing? I had this desire to teach this kid a good life lesson of how to treat other people. And you know how I did it? The golden rule. You know, what if I talk to you like that? You know, that's just not nice. We don't say that. It's amazing how much the golden rule comes into play if we just think about it. Because God never wants, you know what? My temptation was to say the same thing to him or worse. But Jesus said, no, we should never treat other people how they treat us. You know, it also does not mean that we should give them or be happy when they get what they deserve. I mean, we shouldn't rejoice at someone's downfall. We should not sing praises of the doxology when our enemy fails or falls. I mean, the very essence of the gospel is that God does not give us what we deserve. But in place of that, he gives us grace. And he says that we in turn should do that very same thing for other people. It also does not mean that we should treat people how others treat them. You know, isn't it easy to see someone that maybe doesn't quite fit in? And we just kind of get in line and respond, however inappropriately, to others, how people around us treat them. You know, one of our youth leaders one time came to me and said, it's one of the proudest moments I've ever had as a parent. Both of us, Arlene and I. And they brought up our daughter, and they just wanted us to know that when somebody new came into the youth group, or when somebody came in that didn't quite fit in, when there was somebody standing over in the corner because of whatever reason, they said, you know what, your daughter always gravitates to that person and tries to help. Are we like that? I think that God calls us to be that way. But so often it's so easy to do these things that we should not do rather than do the things that Jesus calls us to. Now you think about this. How others treat them. I'm going to blow your mind right here. I believe with all my heart that if the people of the world would live by the golden rule, things like the Holocaust would have never happened. Think about it. Think about why 6 million Jews lost their lives during that time. It was simply because someone thought that they were inferior, that someone thought that they weren't good enough, that some even thought that God was behind it. And I believe with all my heart that the Holocaust could have been prevented if people would have lived by the golden rule. And you know, we can't do anything about the past, but I think about the future. And if we really got in line with Jesus' words here, and if we emulated what he taught in this small, simple teaching, what future catastrophes could be avoided because we live to such a standard. You know, I've heard lots of stories about the Holocaust. I'm sure that you have too. This is one that I've never heard before. And I hope that it'll bring some enlightenment to you. Did you know that in 1943, in March of 1943, Bulgaria had aligned itself with the Nazis? And in March of 1943, the Nazis sent out an order from Berlin to the authorities in Bulgaria and told them to begin the implementation of what they called the final solution. What it was the extermination of the Jewish people in Bulgaria. And they were ordered to begin deporting all Jewish citizens to Treblinka. Did you know that during the Holocaust that they had trains? You can look this up. They had trains that were just, that the cattle cars were full to capacity with people. And they were taken to their death in these cattle cars. And in 1943, they had hundreds of cattle cars that lined the tracks in the little town of Plata, Bulgaria. And the Bulgarian people were told to bring all the Jews and put them on these trains and take them to the concentration camp. And they began the implementation of that order, and they gathered all of the local Jews and they put them in a fenced area at the elementary school, and they brought the trains in to take them to the death camps. The Jewish people were told to bring only what they could carry. And they began, as they stood there waiting, they began to cry out to their neighbors and their friends, telling them goodbye, tears streaming down their face, not certain of their future. There was an Orthodox bishop there. His name was Kuril. And he came to investigate this thing that he'd heard about, and he said this. He said, quote, "Children, the Christians of this country will not allow this to happen." He was talking to the Jews. He said, "I will not allow this to happen to you. I will lay my body on these tracks, and they will have to run over my body to take you away." He said, "This will not happen." All of a sudden, the townspeople were encouraged to speak out. And the people of that city and that little town refused to let those trains leave. And they laid their own bodies on the tracks to keep them there. Months later, true story, months later, the German ambassador to Bulgaria, on June the 7th, 1943, he writes this back to Berlin, quote, "I am firmly convinced that the ambassador and the parliament of Bulgaria wish and strive for a radical final solution to the Jewish problem. However, they are hindered by the mentality of the Bulgarian people, who lack the ideological enlightenment that we have." You see, instead, they were enlightened by the teachings of Jesus, who said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." And because the Bulgarian people followed the teachings of Jesus, although 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, the 49,000 Jews in Bulgaria all lived. Not a one died. They were a people who took serious the golden rule, and they had the moral courage to stand up for what they believed. How about us? You know, I find, folks, that when we obey this word, it's not that hard. It's not hard to do it, it's just hard to start. And I think that if we could start, and if we could have the commitment that we need to this beautiful teaching, what a difference it would make in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, in our community, and ultimately in the world. We have to believe that the golden rule could have even stopped the Holocaust. You know, many years ago, John Wesley wrote a poem that I think is so beautiful. I'd like to share it with you. He said this. He said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Jesus did that. And he calls us to do that. And we can, if we live by this simple but golden rule. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, what a beautiful, simple teaching. This summation of how we should live. God, teach us today and show us today that if we get this right, we get pretty much everything else right. Because, Lord, this is the essence. This is the final ingredient that will bring everything together and make everything beautiful and everything right. Lord, even as we've had these children before us today, may we teach them and join them in living by this simple, beautiful truth. And God, may it happen because of our faith and our love for you. God, give us strength right now as we sing and as we worship with this song. And may, Lord, we make the commitments that we need to make to be overwhelmed with a sense of obedience to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.